Do you have a thorn you're dealing with in your life, something that makes gratitude difficult for you? Mary Moeller says, you're not alone. The Apostle Paul had one too.
If Paul, who was arguably the greatest Christian of his day and the one who was inspired to write 13 letters that we now read and pore over and memorize since they were given to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it have made sense that he could have functioned better without a thorn in his flesh? Well, apparently not, because God, who is sovereign, chose to not remove that thorn. So if he chose not to remove Paul's thorn, it could very well be that he chooses not to remove ours. And we have to be grateful for that.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. So how can we be thankful in the midst of very difficult life circumstances? We'll talk more about that with our guest today, Mary Moeller. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Wednesday edition. We've been getting some time this week with Mary Moeller talking about the whole issue of gratitude, which is an appropriate subject for us to be discussing in the month of November. For that matter, this is something we ought to be talking about all the time, because gratitude is not seasonal. It's something that ought to be a part of our lives. Mary, thanks for being with us again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I have to tell you a story about something that happened to me when I was in high school that came to mind as I was reflecting on your book. When I was a senior in high school, my dad was admitted into the hospital and spent 3 weeks in the hospital having been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So he's in the psych ward for 3 weeks. I'm a senior in high school trying to figure out what all this means. Is my dad crazy? In the middle of that time, I was in a high school student group. I was going to Young Life, and somebody gave me a book that said that in our circumstances, our hard circumstances, we need to praise God. And I thought, well, that is counterintuitive. That's not what you're thinking you should do when you're facing hard circumstances. But I read a little bit of the book and I thought, okay, it does make sense that if God is sovereign and if he knows more than we know, the circumstances we're in, God is doing something for his glory, for our good. And by faith, we need to praise him in those circumstances. And so I remember as a high school student going, okay, this does not make sense to me, but God, I guess I'm supposed to praise you that my dad is in the psych ward. And I remember thinking, that just sounds crazy that I'm doing this.
It's very unusual that at that age you were able to take that advice and to apply it. My goodness, that's tremendous.
Well, the next day, my mom says they're releasing your dad from the hospital. And I thought, I was just with dad a couple of days ago. He's not ready to be released yet. I mean, I remember thinking, no, there's still issues going on. But he came home that day. They had kind of brought him to a place where he was not acting crazy. And I just remember walking away and thinking, did my coming to a point of praising God, was that a part of the trigger where God said, I was waiting for that before I responded?
What a great lesson.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
In your book, you talk about the fact that God wants us to praise him in the middle of hard times, doesn't he?
He does, and it is counterintuitive. And people who are walking through very difficult circumstances may just think that that's insulting. Like, you really want me to thank him for this thorn in the flesh that I've been given? How do I do that? Well, I love this quote from a man, a dear believer who lived back in the 1800s named George Matheson. This man was blind at age 20. He could certainly speak of thorns. He'd been engaged. His wife-to-be dropped him when she found out he was going blind, and he just had a miserable life, lived with a sister until she got married. And then the day that she married, he was on his own and wrote the hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, which many of your listeners will be familiar with. But I love the quote that is attributed to him. He says, my God, I've never thanked you for my thorns. I have thanked you 1,000 times for the roses, but never for the thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that through the tears, the colors of your rainbow look much more brilliant. Mm. So I thought it was stunning that a man that's going blind is, you know, asking to see the colors of the rainbow more brilliantly. And then I kind of springboarded from that into, you know, if we're going to thank the Lord for the thorns, how do we actually intentionally do that? So I came up with 10 different ways to thank God when it hurts. But one is to thank him for the thorn when we can resolve that we're not going to let that thorn in the flesh be the hallmark of our life. So as Job said in Job 2:10, shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil from him? Then there's several others where the Lord is going to use that thorn either to help us encourage struggling believers, maybe to encourage unbelievers and point them to Christ when they see that the love that we have for the Lord is not dependent on us having an easy life. So hopefully that can be helpful to people. But I've started a thorn list next to my blessing list, which is, again, something you say, what are you talking about? And that thorn list is hopefully going to be a lot shorter than your blessings list. But it takes some intentionality to actually sit there and say, okay, Lord, here's a thorn you've given me. I'm going to show gratitude for it, and here's why.
So can you take us to your thorn list? Is there one you could tell us that's on your thorn list and tell us how you're processing that thorn and getting to gratitude from that?
I could say one is that for right now, family is separated from us, is a long way away geographically. And so you may say, well, that's not a very thorny thorn. So the ones that would probably be more personal are ones I wouldn't share on the air. But that's one that is a thorn to me as I have to guard against grumbling that there are people who have their children and grandchildren in town and seem to really take that for granted. Mm-hmm. And now with two little grandsons that are far away, it's harder for me to accept sometimes that my son-in-law is called to do his important work at the State Department right now. That's where the Lord has him. And he has my husband doing an important job in Louisville, Kentucky, and me serving alongside him with student wives. And this is what he's called us to do. But it is very difficult to be missing out on the day-to-day lives of those precious little grandsons.
So when you think about the thorn.
Yes.
And you go, I'm not happy that I don't get to see my grandkids as regularly as I'd like to. How do you get from there to God, you're good, and I praise you, and I thank you?
I get to there by starting with who God is and realizing that he loves me more than I can ever imagine, and that his ways are not my ways, and that he has a very good reason for why they are influencing people in Washington, D.C. right now, and we are influencing people for the gospel in Louisville. And I get to the point of being very thankful for things like FaceTime and Skype that our previous generations had nothing like that. Mm. They could send letters, maybe. They could, you know, go have pictures developed. Kids don't even know what that means, not have a picture developed, and mail it. And by the time you do that, the child has changed. So things could always be much worse, and I need to be sure to check my attitude that as long as we are seeking to be in the center of God's will, there is a reason why we are not together now. They're not on the mission field because God's not called them to Africa or somewhere where I have friends who can see their children maybe once a year or once every few years, and you've just got to trust the Lord in that.
The Apostle Paul had a thorn.
He did.
And found the gratitude in his thorn in recognizing that in his weakness, God is made strong and that there's grace in that moment of weakness.
He came to that, and three times he asked the Lord to take it away. And I love what Dr. Heath Lambert said in our chapel one time, and it just really stuck with me, that if Paul, who was arguably the greatest Christian of his day and the one who was inspired to write 13 letters that we now read and pore over and memorize since they were given to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it have made sense that he could have functioned better without a thorn in his flesh? Well, apparently not, because God, who is sovereign, chose to not remove that thorn. So if he chose not to remove Paul's thorn, it could very well be that he chooses not to remove ours. And we have to be grateful for that.
Dennis, have you found yourself facing a thorn where you've gotten to a point where you've said, thank you, God, for this thorn?
Well, Mary kind of minimized, I felt like, the thorn of children living in another city, because Mary, all six of our adult children and all of our grandchildren all live in different cities.
20 plus grandkids.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it is a by faith point to embrace. Is it a thorn? I never thought of it in that way, but I think it could be, because we have to be very intentional about getting time with them and about how we're going to influence our grandkids, because it's not like they're dropping in on us for dinner or we're dropping in on them to go do something fun together. It just means we got to be trusting God with the circumstances and then not wallowing in your self-pity that you don't get to spoil all your grandkids, but instead you have to be purposeful and intentional as a grandparent.
You got to be careful with a thorn list, because the flesh wants you to wallow in the misery of the thorn list rather than to find your way to gratitude.
Bob, we've had guests on Family Life Today other than Mary who have talked about this principle, who have gone through unspeakable suffering, and they refuse to allow their trial or their season of trials or their lifetime of trials. Even the quote you had by the gentleman who was a blind man around what he could see by faith.
The thorns and not the roses.
That's exactly right. I think it's important for us to embrace the lessons God has for us and, again, not let it define everything about our lives, but to continue to trust Him and step out in faith.
Well, and as Mary was sharing that quote, I was thinking about what you and Barbara read on a headstone in England a decade ago.
Yeah, we have a granddaughter, Mary, who only lived 7 days. And I think God had prepared us for her homegoing a year earlier when we were in a place called the Lizard in England.
Oh, my.
It's just a piece of land that juts out into the ocean, but it's beautiful. But there was a little graveyard on the grounds of a church, and we were wandering around that graveyard looking at what was written on the stones. And one gravestone bore the names of a mother and a father and their son, who were all buried in that one spot. The mother died at age 24, the father at 25, and the little boy, I believe it was at 16 months. And here was the inscription on that gravestone. "We cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, but all is well that's done by thee."
Wow, no wonder that stuck with you for all those years.
Yeah.
It's somewhat like Spurgeon's quote, "When you can't trace his hand, you trust his heart." When you make no sense out of this whatsoever that any good can come from this, you trust his heart. I don't know if you read the quote that I gave from the chaplain when the woman was bedside with her son dying of brain cancer, and the chaplain came up alongside her and said, "Now, just understand, God is not in this. He'll be with you when it's done, but God is not in this." And she had the fortitude to look him square in the eye and just say to him,
"Let
me give you an education, buddy. God has not blinked. God has not moved. I will trust my God. He will carry me through this." And sadly, that's just horrible advice that people are given sometimes. But yeah, you can't trace the Lord's hand. You trust his heart, and all is well.
That's a great quote.
You end your book with a lot of practical counsel on how we get to where we need to be with gratitude. So if we were having coffee together and somebody said, "I'm struggling with this," where would you take them?
Well, I would take them to the fact that gratitude sprouts from the grace that we've been given through the Lord, but then it doesn't stall there. It spurs us on to be grateful to those around us. So, of course, first of all, we're grateful to the Lord, but then we're grateful to those that he's given to us in our home, and also just to people that we meet on the street. I mean, I don't know about you, but it seems like please and thank you have just gone away, and then grunts have replaced those. And so it's very easy to fall into that mindset of, well, he knows I'm thankful or she knows that. But there are many clerks that I feel like I can tell it in their eyes when I say thank you very much or I commend them with some small word of encouragement. They give you a look like no one ever says that to me or you've just made my day by saying that. So not only do we need to be gracious at home and grateful at home, and our children need to see us modeling how we are expressing gratitude to them for small things, how we're expressing gratitude to their father for big things on a regular basis. And that's another whole subject that we don't ever underestimate, that he is expecting that from us, and he's very disappointed when it seems that that's taken for granted.
You've got some of the same DNA that I have in my heart. You believe that we need to have a revival of common courtesies.
Yes, sir.
The other day, I was getting on a plane, and I was kind of crowding in a line, and the line was not that well-defined, but I asked to step in front of a young man who would have gone in front of me, and I said, "Do you mind if I go ahead and step in?" He said, "Not at all. We're both going to end up at the same destination at the same time. It's all good." And he said, You know, I appreciate you asking. He said, I think this country has become way too uncivilized in how we relate to one another, and we don't have courtesy in being kind to one another. And you know, we ended up talking all the way into the plane.
Oh, wow.
And just talking about how our country is not civil. We're not kind to each other. And Barbara said, did you tell him that you're trying to thank all the TSA agents in airports? And I said, no, I didn't.
They don't get a lot of gratitude.
They do not.
They do not.
Oh, thank you for going through all of my personal items.
Exactly.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Thank you for needing to frisk me because something went off as I was going through the scanner. But I think we need to up our game as believers to be known by kindness and to be generous people. In fact, as I was reading your book is not about generosity, but it is about generosity.
It is in the end, right. And it goes back to you bump into us, gratitude should spill out of us, not grumpiness, not entitlement. We see that so much with children, and I shared the quote in the book about, it was on Twitter that I loved this. I laughed out loud when I read this. It dates me a little bit because you have to know what a crazy straw is, that folded up piece of plastic that kids used to enjoy. But it says, one good thing about five-year-olds is that they're always just a crazy straw and some chocolate milk away from the best day ever. And isn't that true? I mean, it takes so little to delight a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, but then you fast forward and those former 5-year-olds become teenagers and they start to, if you're not careful, fall into that whole entitlement trap where they believe every good thing that's out there should be theirs. They deserve that. So we have to model against that for sure.
A few months ago, I finished up having preached my way through the book of Romans, which took more than a year to do. Great journey
so
in that
rich.
Book. The last chapter in that book, as is the case with a lot of Paul's writing, he begins his letters by expressing his gratitude for the churches he's writing to. In every case, except when he's writing to the Galatians.
He's mad there.
And he's mad because they've lost the gospel.
They have.
But even the Corinthians, the immoral Corinthians, get an expression of gratitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends the letter to the Romans with a whole chapter of greet so-and-so and greet so-and-so. I'm thankful for this person. I'm thankful for this person. A lot of these are people he's never met.
Right.
People he's heard about. He's never been to Rome. He knows them by name. He's probably prayed for these people regularly, even people he's never met. He's calling them off by name, and he's saying, greet this person. I'm thankful for what they did. They stuck their neck out for me. I mean, he takes a lot of parchment and a lot of dictation.
He does. Mm-hmm. He does.
To express gratitude at the end of this doctrinal letter. And I think there was just something about him recognizing doctrine without gratitude isn't going to serve us or serve the Lord well.
It's true. You know, our pastor just preached through that same passage, and it was after my book came out, and I was taking great notes thinking, this is good stuff. I need to incorporate this, because it's true that every jot and tittle that is in that letter is for our good and for his glory,
right.
And it's not there by accident. And we have got to learn to be more intentional about this at home and also when we're out, and unbelievers are watching. You know, they are seeing if we really practice what we preach and teach, and it's just, you can't put a value on this.
You could walk around our office here, and if you were to go into different cubicles or offices, you would see pinned on a lot of bulletin boards or over a lot of desks, you would see people who have notes that have been there for years. And the notes that have been there for years are notes that Dennis wrote to them.
Precious. Those are precious.
Where he just said, good job on this. I'm grateful for you and your service. Those notes don't get thrown away.
They don't. And sometimes those are found in the Bibles of dear saints after they have gone on. And those notes have been in there for years. And they go back to whoever wrote it. And that person doesn't even remember writing it. Mm-hmm. But it was so dear to that person and maybe so rare to receive something that just simply put into words, not some perfunctory thing. Maybe it was for no occasion even that it was written, but just to express profound gratitude. And that's just priceless.
So where did that habit get cultivated in you to where you take the time and the effort to express gratitude to people who have done a good job at family life?
I don't know. I'd like to be able to nail it down. Maybe it's because I received notes.
And they encouraged you?
They did. And I'm thinking of something else Paul said that maybe it came from this. I don't know. But this is what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 12, earlier in the same book you two have been quoting here.
Yes.
Verse 10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. And then it talks about what we're discussing here. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Right.
What if we started our days, if we said, you know, I am going to try to outdo. I'm going to compete with everybody else to show honor to other people through common courtesies, with kind words, with a note of appreciation. We need to be showing honor and love and appreciation and expressing that in various ways to one another, beginning with your spouse. How about your kids? Don't look outward to other people. Start at home. Leave your wife a note, guys. Stick a sweet note in your husband's backpack before he heads out the door. An email, yeah, that's okay. You can send one of those. But I think handwritten notes are going to be incredibly valuable in 100 years because very few people are practicing.
You're singing my song. There's a whole section on that in here. There's a good way to write a note, and there's even a bad way to write a thank you note. I'll even go that far.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I have one of those notes in a drawer that when I got it, it was jaw-dropping for me. I had been invited to be an MC at an event. Loved doing it, enjoyed the experience. One of the speakers at this event who was very moving in her presentation was Johnny Erickson-Tama.
Oh, yes.
If there's anybody who has modeled for us gratitude in the face of adversity, it's
Johnny.
Nobody
like her, yeah.
And she spoke, and the audience was moved. I was moved. I was humbled. And I got home, and a few weeks later, I got a note at home from Johnny saying, loved being with you. You did a great job emceeing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I was fine as an MC. She was masterful in what she shared. And then for her to write a note, she's a quadriplegic. She's in a wheelchair to write a note. And by the way, it was in her hand or her pen that this note came. And I looked at that and I thought, what a slacker I am. I should have written her a treatise on how what she shared moved me. And just to get that note, it's like, Lord, I got a lot to learn. I got a ways to go.
It's a wake-up call. Yeah. Yes.
And I have to share this story because I saw Johnny at Billy Graham's funeral.
Mm.
And she had just written Barbara a note. Because Barbara had struggled for over 8 weeks with hives.
Oh.
Frankly, a number of different things had taken place in Barbara's life. And Johnny's note said, Barbara, I don't know of anyone who has suffered as well as you. And I went up to Johnny and I put my hand over my heart and I said, Johnny, your statement is incredibly humbling for Barbara to receive that you would write that to her. Wow.
Profound. She's an amazing servant of the Lord, isn't she? I mentioned her in my book as well, where she's going through a particularly horrible chemo treatment, and she looked at Ken and she said, it's like a splash over of hell to go through of this, and then she waited a moment. She said, well, wait a minute, that's wrong. She said, it's a splash over of heaven that the Lord is holding my hand while I do go through this. And then, so now I can't get that word picture out of my mind. She was on our campus as well for a visit and just blesses every audience that has the privilege of hearing her. She's not going to let this define her.
Yeah. So I think all of us can probably say, is there somebody we ought to write a thank you note to today? Express some gratitude. Getting in that habit is a good habit to get into, isn't it?
The Lord brings someone to mind for that reason. Act on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And can we say thank you? Can we express our gratitude?
You may, yes.
I'll do it verbally.
I will accept it, gladly.
I don't have a piece of paper here, at least worthy of writing a thank you note.
It's been
thank
my
you for being
privilege.
On the broadcast. You show your husband up extremely well. You know that?
Well, long as I don't shame him, I've done my job.
Yeah,
yes, that's my job.
That's great.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
We have got copies of Mary's book, Growing in Gratitude, available in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com or call to order 1-800-FL-TODAY. Great book to go through together as a couple. Read with the whole family. Read a few pages and talk about how can we be more thankful. Or you might want to go through this with your men's small group, your women's small group, or as a couple's small group. Again, the title of the book, Growing in Gratitude. Order from us online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get your copy. I just want to try something here. It may be too cold where you are, but if you are driving and listening to Family Life Today and you have ever made a donation in support of this ministry, could you just tap your horn, you know, two or three times, just beep, beep, beep. Now, if you're driving and you're listening to Family Life Today and you've never made a donation, but you just heard somebody honking their horn, you might just wave and say thank you through the window because they're the people who help make Family Life Today possible for you. Either that or they're just angry people on the highway and they were honking at you for another reason. I can't be sure. But the point is, there's a small number of folks in every community who are making Family Life Today possible for their friends and neighbors. And if you are one of that small number in your community, on behalf of the others who are listening, thank you for helping to make Family Life Today possible. If you're a longtime listener, you've never donated to support this ministry, today would be a great day for you to join the team. And then you can tap your horn a couple of times and let folks know that you're now a supporter of Family Life Today. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or you can donate by calling 1-800-FL-TODAY. In either case, when you make a donation, we'd love to send you a dramatic retelling of the Thanksgiving story. It's actually the dramatized audiobook for Barbara Rainey's Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember. It's great for the whole family to listen to as you're traveling for the Thanksgiving holidays or just as you drive around town. It's our gift to you when you donate. So again, thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoy the dramatized audiobook of Thanksgiving, A Time to Remember. And we hope you can join us tomorrow when we're going to talk about why moms are so important, why motherhood matters. September McCarthy is going to be with us, and we hope you can be here as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.